Welcome to our discussion of carrying on Shabbat, strangest form of work. We know that one of the 39 things we're not supposed to do on Shabbat is motzi reshut l'reshut. You're not supposed to take something out of the public domain and bring it into the private domain, from the private domain into the public domain. In other words, you can't take your keys out of your pocket and take them into the street if the street is a very, very busy street. The rabbi said, even if it's a plain street, if it's a very small street, can't take it out unless you have an Eruv. But if you took it out to a very busy thoroughfare, like a Times Square, a highway, something like that, then you were in Torah violation. What's the nature of this prohibition? I understand that you shouldn't be planting on Shabbos. You shouldn't be reaping or sowing, threshing, selecting, grinding or sifting. We understand that you shouldn't be doing things that make leather, like trapping and slaughtering and skinning the hide. We understand that you shouldn't be tying knots like a fisherman. You shouldn't Boy Scout. We understand you shouldn't put on a fire, put out a fire. But the question is, why can't you carry? I mean, big deal. What's the big deal? Now, lest you think that rabbis kind of made this up, it's explicit in Nehemiah and in Yirmiah. In Nehemiah 13, toward the end of Nehemiah, it says that Nehemiah was trying to set up a Jewish state with a Jewish law, and it was terrible. He saw in Judah, Dorchin Gitot b'Shabbat, people were threshing on the vineyards on Shabbos in the threshing floors. They were mevim aremot amvamasim omsim al chamorim. They were loading things up on donkeys. They were bringing bundles of afyayim. They have all kinds of different burdens that they brought. They brought it to Jerusalem on Shabbos. So it's a terrible thing, and he was very upset about it. But notice that he was upset about the masa, the carrying. Maybe is the prohibition that carrying sort of like heavy, you know, like not allowed to carry even a small cup because we're afraid you might carry like a desk, and that would be very burdensome. So is it the burden or is it no mevi'im? It's the transportation, about it's the idea of bringing from one place, bringing some outside Jerusalem to Jerusalem, bringing from the field to the city. Maybe that was the problem. Similarly, we find in Jeremiah 17, same thing about, he's complaining about people violating Shabbos toward the end of the temple, first temple period, and the beginning of the second temple period in the book of Nehemiah. Now, so we wonder, you know, okay, fine. So it's something they didn't want, but why? What's the problem with it? So, as Rav Meitan pointed out, you can see clearly from Nehemiah and Yirmiah, they're worried about the commerce aspect of it. Maybe in the desert, you know, they were more worried about other things, but in Nehemiah, the carrying became a very primary a prohibition because you wanted to do business. It's all about transport. You know, you make your goods, you grow your vegetables. Now you got to sell them. You got to bring them to market. It's all about transportation. So that became a major element of it. Another question is, but we're still trying to understand, you know, what is this prohibition? Why is it prohibited at all? I mean, if I have a tissue in my pocket, does it really make a difference? Am I really doing anything? And I'm not doing anything. I mean, when you carve something, then you're doing something. When you skin an animal, you tan a hide, you're doing something, you're changing something. But just to take a tissue from here and bring it over there, it seems like it's not much of a burden, not much of an act. So what's going on? In order to also address this question, we need to ask another question, and that is, how come Masechet Shabbat, the tractate of Shabbat, starts with it? In the list on page 72, they list the 39 things you can't do on Shabbat because those are the things that were done to make the Mishkan. But in the tractate of Shabbat, the book that talks about Shabbat, what do? They start by talking about the 39th problem, the 39th prohibition. Why? Why did Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who wrote the Mishnah, why was it so important to him to specifically start with Shabbat? So the Riva, one of the Tosfot, asked this question. He says, I don't understand. Shabbat Ayelo Shanot Kabiavod Lachot Achar Perak Lagadol. You should, after you list the 39 prohibition, later in page 72 in the tractate, then you should talk about 39 things and then talk about Shabbat. What are you doing? You know, what's it doing over here? She said, oh, maybe, you know, it's very common. Maybe it's very beloved because it's derived from verses. The Sfasema says, it's explicit in the verse, as we'll see later. Maybe that's why it's mentioned. However, Tosfot, there on 2a, they say as follows. They say, bear with me 1 second. Tosfot says, Hotzah Malacha Grui. The reason we have to start with this is because Hotzah, this business of carrying, is kind of a pathetic thing. And you have to sort of give it some extra strength. So you put it at the beginning to tell people, I know it doesn't look like much, but you can't do it anyway. It's a, why? Why is it so pathetic? The Mali Motzi Mishu Seyach, Lishzarabi, Mali Motzi Mishu Seyach, Lishzarabi. If changing domain is a problem, if I go from my domain, Joel Finkelstein, to Tom Jones's domain, so I'm also changing domain. And yet, to go from my house to his house is not a violation. It's only when I go from my house, a private domain, to a public thoroughfare, that's when it becomes a problem. But if the problem is changing domains, it should be a problem. As Rav Moshe Feinstein points out in the Dibros Moshe, we know that changing domains is significant. For instance, think about it, stealing. When all I did was I took it out of your pocket, I put it in my pocket. It's no big deal. I'm not stealing it. I'm just putting it in my pocket. No, changing domains is important, right? Or if I sell you something, so well, how do we consummate the deal? So he said, well, you take the cow and bring it from my house to your house. That's what makes the deal. So changing domains is very important. So how come if when you go from private domain to private domain, you don't violate Shabbos, but when you go from public to private, you do violate Shabbos? So since it's kind of strange to understand it that way, that's why you needed to start to tractate with it, because people will kind of make fun of it. I remember before there was an Eruv in my community, a lot of people were sort of fubbing, were sort of a little lenient about carrying, because it's very difficult not to carry. Carry a tissue, carry a key. It's a hard thing to do. So why is it so hard? It doesn't look like a real violation. Everyone understands you can't water the grass on Shabbos. But the idea that you can't carry something in your pocket, what's it all about? So he says, it looks like it's not a big deal. The Or Zarua, so Rabbi Yitzchak of Vienna, 13th century. So he says, I'll tell you why it's strange, because Ma Malacha Asa Shotzir Meshus. If you took it out of your domain, what kind of work is that? He says, Meikara Chevas Ashenami Chevas. It was an object, now it's still an object. It was a potato, now it's still a potato. It was a tomato, it's still a tomato. It was a cup, and now it's still a cup. So what difference does it make? A tissue is a tissue over here, a tissue over there. What difference does it make? Santani pointed out, the Gemara says somewhere that, you know, regarding Nezik, and also regarding damages, something was in the pit or on top of the pit. What did Maliyacha, Maliyacha, who cares where it was? These two views, I'm a little uncertain about how to formulate this, but these two views may reflect two different thinkings of what the problem is with this malach. If you say the problem is that you see when you go from one domain to another, it's not a big deal. So then he thinks that the essence of it is that you went from one domain to another. That's the essence of it. And that might be more result-oriented, that when I'm done with this business, it went from my domain to someone else's domain. So there is a result. Even though it's the same object, it's result-oriented. According to the Or Zarua, there's no result. What kind of a result? Now it's a potato, now it's a potato. Nearly nothing happened at all. So he thinks that it's a prohibition, even though it's not result-oriented. If it's not result-oriented, what is it? The prohibition is simply in the action. See, some things, the prohibition is just in the action. When I'm not allowed to plant a seed on Shabbos, I take a sunflower seed, a seed for a tomato, and I put it in the ground on Shabbos, it's a violation of Shabbos. But nothing grew. Yeah, but the act of putting it in, that's the problem, says Rav Moshe Feinstein. Yeah, but let's say it turns out it didn't grow, so maybe I didn't violate anything. But if it does grow, then the fact that I put it in on Shabbos, even though nothing happened, there were no sprouts on Shabbos, since I put it in on Shabbos, the action was prohibited. That's a thing you can't do on Shabbos, taking seeds, put it on the ground. But when it comes to this, is the prohibition of hotzah, of carrying, similar? where the prohibition is the action of taking it from here and putting it over there. Nothing is accomplished when I put it over there, but it's going over there. Or according to Tosfot, now it is result oriented, totsa oriented, because when I get it to a different domain, that's when it changes. That's when it changes what it is. The Ritva says something similar in Eruvin 68a. We'll get back to that later. Now, if we look at there's another problem, and the problem is that the Gemara in Shabbos 49a, Mem Tes Mod Aleph, says that the reason it's prohibited is because when they were carrying the different long beams that they needed for the Mishkan, they were very tall beams that they had to put it in a wagon. A wagon was high up. If something's high up, it's its own domain. It's considered a private domain by the rabbi. And what do? They put it on the ground. What's the ground? The public domain where all the people were building the tabernacle. So we see that they did it in the Mishkan. Anything done in the Mishkan to build the Mishkan is prohibited on Shabbat, because the Torah says, don't do any work. And then it says, these are all the things they did. They did all the work. It was wonderful. They built the tabernacle. They did work, 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 work. It says work a million times. So that shows us that, you know what work is? All the things you do to build a Mishkan, that's what work is. One of the things they did was this. Okay, so that we're done. Why is carrying prohibited? Because it says in the Gemara in Shabbos 49a that was found in the Mishkan, like all other 39 things. There's no verse for the 39 things. There's no verse for each one of the things. Now, you can find some of the things, bishul, cooking, fire. You can find some of them, but generally, for all 39, there's no verse. However, in this case, there is a verse. If we look in the Gemara in Shabbos 96b, it says, Otsai Chitziva. Where does it say that you can't take things out? So Rabbi Yochanan says, if you look in the beginning of Parsha Vayakel, it says that that Moshe said, he sent out through the community, and he says, don't take anything out anymore. He said to them that it's enough. Vayikalei am evi, they stop bringing. They shouldn't be bringing anything further. So we see that he told them not to bring, and they said they stopped doing it, and apparently that was considered a form of work. So we see that carrying is a form of work. Let's get the exact verse here. It says what? Everyone came, and then Moshe said, okay, it's enough already. We did it already. And he said, Al yasu od. Don't do od malacha. Don't do any malacha. What's the malacha? They stop bringing. Now, some would say that he told them to stop carving and weaving and all that, and then they stop bringing it as well. He said, well, what's the point of weaving if not, you know, what's the point of bringing if we don't, if you don't need it? We're going to stop weaving and we'll stop bringing. But clearly, he tells them, don't do any work, and they stop bringing. So we see that bringing things from one place to another. Moshe was in a public place, and each person, whoa, where do you weave? You weave it in your house. So that was in their private domain. He told them not to bring it. That's considered malach. Whether he was talking to them on Shabbos or it wasn't Shabbos, doesn't make a difference. It's called malach. So we have a verse from Shemot, from the Parsha Vayakel, for the as a basis for this. But the Gemara in Erevin 17b also has another source. It says, when the story of the man, we know that you're not allowed to collect man on Shabbos. You're not allowed to go out in the field and get man on Shabbos. The man comes from heaven. So it says, Ish al yotze ish from kol. No one should go out of his place. From which you could derive that you shouldn't walk too far. You know, if you're in the country and there are no houses, you can't just walk a mile on Shabbos. You're going out of your place. In a city, you can walk as much as you want because it's a big city. It's all one place. But in the country, you can't walk more than four-fifths of a mile. 2,000 amos. So Moshe says no one should go out of their place. But you could also read it al yotzi ishim ko. No one should take anything out of their place, which we see that neither you or your property should go out of its place, from which you could derive that you shouldn't carry on Shabbos. So we have that verse. The one of the commentators suggested that maybe, though I think Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested that the one verse is for taking out and one is for bringing. So notice Moshe was telling not to bring from their private place, and the other one was Yotzi, that you shouldn't take the man from the public and bring it into the private. So maybe you need two verses. Why? Why do you need any verses? It's in the Mishkan. If it's in the tabernacle, you don't need a verse. Anything that's in the Mishkan, you can't do on Shabbos. Those are the 39 things. Every one of the 39 doesn't have a verse. Why does this need a verse? Says Rashi, says Tosfot, it needs a verse because it's a melacha gerua, because it's a weak thing. Why does it need two verses? Because if you didn't tell me, whatever it tells me is a chidush. The Rashi said it's a chidush. It's something new. If you tell me I can't take from the public to the private, I would say, okay, that's what I can't do. But what about from the private to the public? I didn't know that. So we need another verse for that as well. Everything needs a verse because it's not obvious. Now, this notion that it's a weak form of work has a number of implications, what we call nafkaminas, practical implications. It impacts a number of things. Now, some of these things are not the halacha. That's not the halacha. We don't follow that today. But some rabbis thought these things. So, for instance, Ritva in Eruv in 68a quotes Rabbi Yon. And Rabbi Yon was the opinion that it's true. You can't tell a Gentile, call this number, buy 10 shares of that stock, dig me a hole in the backyard, cook me an egg. You can't do that. But to tell the Gentile, look, I got this cup over here. Can you please take this cup and bring it over there? That you could do. Why? Because he says, it's not really doing anything. But the Gentile, he takes it from here, brings it over there. It's not doing it. The Bnei Yeshua thinks that to have an animal bring something for you is also not a violation. It's only a rabbinic violation. The Chai Adam thinks that although if someone scrambled an egg for me on Shabbos, I can't eat it because you know why it's scrambled? It's a nice edible egg, delicious egg, because they made it for me on Shabbos. But if, let's say, a Jew made it, he's not keeping Shabbos, and he makes it for me on Shabbos. Well, I'm not going to eat this. This thing was acted upon in a prohibition. I'm not going to eat a prohibited egg. But if the Gentile, even the Jew, he says, "Oh, Rabbi, I wanted to show you this nice sermon," and he brings it to me on Shabbos, it's not a problem. I mean, it's terrible that he's carrying, but it's not a problem for me. Why? Because that sermon that he gave me, it's the same sermon that was in his house, now it's in my house. Didn't change. So therefore, since nothing changed, it's not prohibited to use it. You cannot eat the egg that he baked for you, but you can take the cup that he brought for you. Also, the Mishnah, the Rabbi Moshe Targum at Yeshiva Haaretzion points out some of these differences, and he pointed to the Mishnah in Shabbos 92a. There it says that if you take out, say, some people carry things on their head. In the Middle East, they carry it in their head, shoulder. But if you carry it in your shoe, you put your key in your shoe, you put your tissue in your shoe, that's not carrying. Why? Because it's not kederach hamavim. Because that's not how people do it. And since this is a chidush, this is a very unusual thing, the Torah told you, you can't do this. Anything that's not this, anything that's normal carrying, you can do. So if you carry it in your shoe, you could do it. Again, we don't just run around Shabbos walking with things in our shoes. But if you really needed to carry a key on Shabbos, that might be a solution. Talk to your local rabbi for the exact permutations of that. So we see that there are all kinds of implications. Now, so we've asked, you know, what's wrong with carrying? We said, well, you know, it's killing, kind of a weak kind of a thing. And we asked, you know, what's the nature of it? Is it is it actually accomplishing something that you change domains? Or it's not accomplishing anything. It's just an act. Something you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to carry. And when is it considered carrying? When you have gone to a different domain. But let's try to understand what is really wrong with carrying. What's the issue? It's not like making something. You're not really changing anything. As the Zoro said, it was an apple before, and that's still an apple. What have you done? So I would like to share with you, I believe it's, I think it's four theories. Theory number one, very simple. It's not a malacha. It's not an actual form of work. It's just something you're not allowed to do. Torah says you can't do it. That's not very satisfying, but that is an approach that I saw someone mention. The Reima Cohen is a very innovative, interesting thinker at Otniel. He originally studied at Yeshivat Hartzion with Rav Lichtenstein. And he says, the idea of Shabbos is that all your work is done. This is not his idea, that we know the Medrash says that it says, it should be as if all your work is already done. So wherever you are, that's it. You're good. In the Gan Eden. God originally put us in the Gan Eden. You had everything you needed. You have every tree. You didn't even have to plow anything. You want a date, a fig, and a banana, an apple. It's all right there. You don't have to get anything. You don't have to do any work. Everything's all set. Then we went into the world after the Gan Eden. We're lacking a lot of things. So we got to plow, and we have to work, and we have to knead, and we have to bake, and we have to do all these kind of things. So, but on Shabbos, we should consider that we go back to Gan Eden. We're in our place. Everything's great. Everything's chill. Everything's great. There's nothing to worry about. We have all of our things already. I compare it to the following. You prepare Shabbos and you make a beautiful meal and you prepare everything. You don't need someone to bring you a bottle of wine. You already have your wine. You don't need someone to bring you some cookies or some challah. You have everything you need right there. You need someone to bring from somewhere else. If you have an Eruv, you can do it. You're not supposed to give gifts on Shabbos, but that's a side issue, a rabbinic issue. But conceptually, you don't need anyone to bring you anything, because everything that you have where you are, you're going to make do with it. It's fine. The way it is just fine. You're in your place already. So that explains why the first mission in Shabbos is a case of a man giving charity. The poor man says, tzedakah, tzedakah. He puts out his hand to get charity. He takes his cup and he puts it into the rich man's domain. The rich man puts the money inside the cup, and then the poor man takes it back from the inside the house to the outside the house. So the question is, why this example? Because that's terrible. On Shabbos, there's a poor man. On Shabbos, everybody should be taken care of. The community should make sure everyone has something for Shabbos. So what do you mean somebody's lacking something? Conceptually, no one's lacking anything on Shabbos. Everything's great. So that's the idea of carrying. If you carry, that means that you think that where you are, you don't have everything you need. Theory number two. Theory number three, Rav Meidan. Rav Meidan was my teacher at Yeshivat Hartzion. Now he's one of the heads of Yeshiva. And he said, we know that Rashi thinks that a real public domain has 600,000 people. Why? Because that's how many Jews there were in the desert. Why? Because that's a whole civilization. What do you have when you have a civilization? Well, when you have a very large group, if you have a large school, classroom, city, there's somebody who's a very good artist. Someone is a very good musician. Someone is a very good carpenter. Someone is a good shoemaker. And you have all the trades you need because it's a big city. It's a big place. When you go out in the public domain, you are going out there to make sure that all the different trades that happen, somebody weaves something, but you know what they need? After they weave it, the glue that connects all the different trades is the transportation. You look at the trucks going down the highway. Some of them are bringing milk from the guy who milked the cow. Some of them are bringing produce from the guy who was a farmer. Some of them are bringing leather from the person who tanned the skins. Someone else is bringing artisan carpentry, etc. So the transportation is the final touch for everything. And if you go back to the 39 prohibition, the 38th one is makeh b'patish, the last touch. Like you have a suit, but it's got the hook on it from the store. You can't wear it because it's got this thing. They forgot to take it off and it looks like it's stolen goods. So I can't walk around with this thing. So I'll say, well, on Shabbos, I'll just sort of, prohibition, I'll just sort of take it off. No, no, no. That taking off of that label, even the cleaner label, even though it's just a little staple, I can take it off. That is a prohibition, of the final touch. And that's what transportation is. It's the final touch. It's the connector, the glue that makes all other trades possible. Without your marketing guy, without your transportation guy, you have nothing. Which leads nicely into our Soloveitchik theory. This I heard from our Soloveitchik personally, and he said the following. I wasn't able to find it in history books. I wasn't able to Google it, but maybe someone can tell me where you can find it. He said that there was a debate between Trotsky and Lenin, the two great founders of the communist movement. I'm not praising communism. I'm just talking about what their thoughts were. So Trotsky was Jewish. Lenin, of course, was not. Trotsky said, well, the question was as follows. We know from a communist point of view, the owner of the factory, the capitalist who provides the capital to have a factory to begin with, from their perspective, he's useless. We need to offer this head, you know, get rid of him, let the government take it over. Because what does he do? Nothing. He doesn't make anything. Labor, working with their hands, that's what the real, those are the real people who really do something. And the guy in the chain line, that's the guy who makes the product. And the guy who comes up with the idea of the factory to begin with, he's a capitalist. Just get rid of him. Of course, we know that that doesn't work. There won't be any factories, there won't be any jobs. But we're not here to discuss communism. But the question is, if you're trying to have a society where everyone has to be productive and you don't like the managers, you think they're just a waste of time, what about the transportation workers? Are they real workers who are, you know, getting their hands dirty with the real work? Or are they just useless middlemen who get paid for all this transportation stuff? Came Trotsky and he said that they're useless. They came Lenin and he said that they're useless. Came Trotsky and he said, no. And the Rabbi Soloveitchik said Trotsky was a Kleger. Trotsky said, transportation is very important. What did he understand? Here we get to something that's almost mystical. You say, Mali hacha, mali hacha. What difference does it make if the tissue is in my house, or it's on the sidewalk when I'm walking to shul, or it's in the shul when I get there? Who cares where it is? It's a tissue. I haven't changed it one bit. It's the same tissue. So we say, no, no, no. When your nose is running and you're in shul, you know where you need that tissue to be? Right in your pocket. If it's in your house, it's of no value to you. Go a step further. You made a beautiful couch. You're a couch-making company. But you know where the couch is? The couch is all in the warehouses because there's no the supply chain got messed up and there's no trucking. You know what the couch is worth? Nothing. Nothing. So it's the same couch, whether it's in your living room in the showroom down the block, or whether it's in the warehouse in Iowa, it's the same couch. Whether the couch is here or there doesn't make a difference. So it makes all the difference. It's almost like, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, it didn't really make any sound. If you have a couch and you can't get it to the right place, it's not even a couch. So the Arzarua said, you know, what kind of prohibition is it? It's nothing. But what is the Torah telling us? The Torah is telling us, yes, it does seem like a weak form of work because it's a hard concept to grasp. But you know what it actually is? Actually, going from one domain to the other, taking it from point A to point B, actually does change the object. It is like carpentry, or it is like sewing. It is like weaving, because just like in weaving, first you have threads and then you have a beautiful sweater. So too, when it comes to carrying, when I have my cup where I want it, it's a whole different cup. It's actually a valuable cup. The cup that I don't have, I'm trying to drink water and I don't have a cup and it's in my house, that cup is of no use to me right now. But a valuable cup would be a cup that's right here so I could drink. So when you transport something, you change its value. You have a tremendous impact on what this cup is. Its functionality is completely changed. It's like that suit. It's a beautiful suit, but it's got this sticker on it. And if I just take that sticker off, then it'll be a nice suit. But with a sticker that says 50% off, I can't walk into shul like that. So then, under some circumstances, I can't take it off because it changes the suit from an unwearable suit to a wearable suit. I have a hamantaschen and it's delicious, but it has a hair in it. If I don't take out that hair, I can't eat that hamantaschen. And just taking out that one hair, it's a whole different hamantaschen. So too over here, when you move something from one place to the other, something mystical, something special happens where it actually is changed. So yes, it's a malacha grua, as all the Rishonim point out. It's a very weak form of work. It's not your classic work that changes the object itself. It's a very significant form of work. It's actually that last touch that's needed for every business, the marketing plan and the transportation plan. Because without that, your object is really worth nothing. So we've discussed the notion of carrying, the whole idea of carrying. I want to thank Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. We want to thank our sponsors, anonymous sponsor in in honor of the Avos Torah, the love of Torah. And thank you all for joining us. Thank you.